like to introduce you to my good friend and rock star, Sean Harrison.
How you doing today, Sean?
Aloha. Just sitting out here in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, looking right out at Diamond Head and out to the ocean. There's some beautiful waves coming in today.
So now that we're all jealous, Sean, of where you are.
81 degrees again. It's so boring.
Yeah, it is very boring when the weather is perfect every single day. We all feel for you there, especially those of us that are listening to this podcast in November or December are really hating you right now, Sean. Sean, you have had an amazing track record of success. Marriott, Starwood, executive leadership. Now you're regional vice president for all of Wyndham Hawaii. Huge job. But what interests me most, and I think what will interest our listeners, is previously you were vice president at Hilton. You had an amazing job. Everybody knew your name. Everybody does know your name. If I understand correctly, you were making a seven-figure income. And one day, you walked into the office of your boss and said, "I quit." You had no plan, right? And basically joined a rock and roll band and went surfing. So I think our listeners want to know what happened.
You know, it sounds totally insane, doesn't it? But it made the most sense for me at that time. I'd spent 21 years in vacation ownership, starting, you know, on the tables as a salesman, you know, becoming a sales manager, becoming a director of training and development, you know, going through, you know, Marriott, going through Hilton, Starwood. And, you know, I'd gotten to the point in my life at 41 years old where, you know, all I'd ever really done is focus on my career. And although I had incredible successes and achievement along the way, I found myself at the end of a $400 million project that was very successful, you know, not really where I wanted to be health-wise, not where I wanted to be from a community standpoint. And I read a very, very, you know, good book, and it was on well-being by the Gallup, you know, by the Gallup organization. And it really, there's these five, you know, attributes of well-being. And although on the surface it might have looked like that this guy's got all of it, you know. I'm very proud to say I just celebrated 24 years with my college swim team girlfriend that I married. We have two beautiful children. And, you know, it's just as along the way, especially in our business, we talk about dreams and vacations, and you focus in on that one thing that you want to do and succeed at. For me, providing for my family was very, very important. And also, I really wanted to be a part of the next evolution of my industry, and which was bringing it, you know, to the branded world, which, as you see, starting about 1995, Marriott and Starwood and Hilton and Disney and all these major corporations came in to the industry. Before that, it was pretty mom and pop. So the timing is everything. But, you know, we have dreams, you know, and I ended up 41 years old, luckily financially in a place where I could have that conversation with my wife and say, hey, you know, what I really wanted to do is finish my master's degree. And I applied to the University of Southern California, go Trojans, as a 41-year-old man. And I went after a master's degree in adult learning theory and also second language acquisition. So I was very interested in dealing with the Japanese folks that were growing up in foreign countries, moving to the United States, learning English, passing their real estate test, and then succeeding wildly in our industry. And I thought, you know what? That right there is an accomplishment. You know, and I wanted to learn how these folks could do that. I always came out of training and development, so I thought that learning about adult learning theory, how we learn, I just was addicted to that type of science. But went and finished that, also signed up for a master's degree in guitar and record production. Like any A-type personality, I had to take these hobbies or these loves and these passions in my life and see how far I could go with them. You know, And I have to say that I was able to start the Blue Stones, which is a Rolling Stones cover band. And I went from the regional vice president at Hilton to coming back to the fundraiser called the Heart Ball as part of the entertainment. And so the events I used to attend as the VP and raise funds for, I ended up becoming the guitar player, and that was a lot of fun to be able to play those songs. And also right now I'm in a Chicago blues band called the Trailer Park Romeos. But in that also I took off and went to the U.S. Nationals for my age group and got, you know, top 10 in the 50 backstroke. And just all of these things that you dream about when you're sitting there in that office and you're going, wow, you know, if I had all the time in the world, what would I do? Well, I just had this funny feeling that when I'm 80 years old, you know, I'm going to look back on my life and I'm probably not going to be hard on myself for what I tried and failed. I'm probably going to be hard on myself for what I didn't do or what I didn't give a good shot to, you know, and hey, you go around once in this life, and I wanted to make sure I checked those off the list, but obviously the industry just completely beckoned me back in, so here I am, full steam ahead.
You are back. Well, Sean, and with that, and you know, I remember when you were getting your master's and how impressed I was, and you were taking these online classes from Hawaii, from that beautiful Lanai, studying, being engaged 8-10 hours a day. My father told me something once, Sean, and it sounds like you really took this saying to heart. He said, for every disciplined effort, there's a multiple reward, regardless of the endeavor. So it sounds like you did things like learning the guitar, studying adult learning theory, swimming. How did all of those other hobbies or interests, how do they today affect your performance at work and your well-being?
You know, it was very interesting because I think the hard part for executives and is that you get 20 years down the line and your relationships and the equity that you have and you're in your peak earning years and to say, how do I just step away from that? You know, and I guess when you take a look at it, it's really, you have to ask yourself if you don't, you know, do exactly what you're meant to do, what you're created to do in this life, you know, how are you going to feel about that when you get to an age where maybe you couldn't do it, you know? And I just found that, you know, it's about, you know, I had someone tell me a long time ago, I think a mutual friend of both you and I, what are you willing to give up in order to be successful at what you really want to be successful at? So I think one of the main things, one of the tools that I've been able to use is having support systems in place to be able to eliminate distraction and focus in on that one or that two things that you're trying to be great at that moment. And then what happens is once you're successful at it or once you put your 10,000 hours in on that skill, what happens is the exponential reward just blossoms. I mean, I have now come back into the industry as the executive vice president for Wyndham Vacation Ownership, the largest vacation ownership company in the world, and I'm running 3 different brands, and I still am able to play and enjoy. Just played in front of 1,000 people on Saturday. So really my life is more blessed and abundant now than I could have ever imagined for myself back in 2011 when I decided to what looked like take a little bit of a sidetrack.
Sean, what advice would you give to someone, you know, younger, you know, go back to our 20-year-ago self.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Before you had the good fortune of being able to say, you know what, these are my passions. I want to engage in these things so that I can be a better person, a more fulfilled person. But what about the salesperson that's just starting out, the 25-year-old, the 28-year-old that really needs to provide for his or her family? What advice would you give them how they can live a balanced, full life? Because they probably don't have the ability to just quit for a couple of years.
Well, I'd say enjoy your hair, and I would say also enjoy your waistline, because no matter what, we think we're going to keep it together. I mean, being 28, I would love to look like that again, you know? But you know, it is. I wouldn't give anything up to go back. Here I sit at 47, and I am so happy with what I've been able to accomplish. You know, being balanced in your life is the ultimate key. And if you would have told me that at 35, I would have just laughed at you. I would have said, yeah, no, it's about specifically working endlessly and focused on that one thing and becoming an extreme expert at it. You know, Sherry, I think you woke me up one time very good. When I was about 35, I was traveling all over the United States. I was living this rock star existence of speaking in front of groups and motivating people and teaching people the fundamentals of why we do what we do and how to do what we do. And I was bragging to you about the schedule that I was keeping at the time and my air miles. And you said, Sean, I hope one day that you realize, I know what you think. You said, Sean, you think it's really cool to work that hard and be that successful. And I said, absolutely. And you said, well, I hope you get to the place in your life at one point when you realize that working that hard and having to spend that much time in that one area is really not as cool as you think. And I remember going, you know, I remember just saying to myself, what the heck did she mean by that? Because I had put all of my eggs in one basket. And so I had to kind of get to a place in my life where you get to a place at 41, 42. I found myself at, you know, 265 pounds for me. And it was, you know, and I had all of the test numbers to go with it. And I had to make a U-turn and figure out how I was going to be able to do life in a much more balanced way so that I would have a very long life to be able to enjoy. So, you know, I would say that the most important thing at 28 years old is make sure that you're a student of the game. You know, that you read the books. You start with the fundamentals of sales. You read Og Mandino, and you read Tom Hopkins, and you read Tony Robbins, and you read Zig Ziglar, and you memorize everything that Sherry Levitin said starting in 1997, you know. And what happens is you don't understand along the way the exponential return that you're getting because of the wisdom that you're bringing into your life. And truly in sales, who you surround yourself with, what your relationships are, you know, the quality of your relationships, how you speak and respect each other, how you build each other up, all of that will determine one day the level of success that you'll achieve in any sales endeavor, in any company, or even if you're an entrepreneur.
That's great advice, Sean. You know, the tagline of my new book, Heart and Sell, is what you do matters, but who you are matters more. And you really embody that, and you've done that throughout your whole career. It's never just about what you do and the money you make. It's about, like you said, who you are. Who are you in your community? Who are you as a boss? Who are you as an employee? Who are you as a brother, as a sister? Because what you do off the sales floor impacts who you are on the sales floor. They're the same thing. And it's so funny because salespeople say, well, how do I learn empathy? How do I learn responsibility? And I tell them, you practice it all the time. You practice it with your children. You practice it with your loved ones because really they're one and the same. It's an embodiment of your entire person. And that's why, you know, training's a process and not an event. It's something we have to live and breathe every single day. Sean, I know that our listeners probably have so many things that they want to ask you, and since this is a podcast, I'm just going to ask you a couple more questions. What do you, and I hear birds in the background, Sean. Are you on your lanai by any chance?
Like I said, I'm on my lanai staring at the waves right now that are breaking in Waikiki. And I am staring right into the crater of Diamond Head Crater, which is a world-famous cinder cone here on the island of Oahu.
Well, that sounds lovely. let me ask you a question. What do you think is the biggest mistake? And I know there's a lot of them, but what's the hardest thing for a salesperson? What do they have the most trouble with? You've managed thousands of salespeople throughout
your life. You know, I really... I really believe in the deepest parts of my heart and who I am. You know, I've seen three different kinds of organizations throughout my career, well over 25 years at this point. But the three different kinds of organizations, and what I'll find is the most successful organizations, the good organizations that are just could be incredibly more effective, and then you see the organizations that absolutely struggle. And within those organizations are just people dealing with a certain aspect that can be cured the minute you have the ability to commit to what it takes to be great. And what it is when you see the most struggling salespeople, whether it's a marketer, whether it's a salesperson, whether it's a manager, a director of sales, it is just the lack of a plan, a lack of discipline, a lack of everybody feeling they're on the same page, a lack of camaraderie. You know, there's a high level of selfishness. And then what you have is, and what you usually look at the training process. You know, the training process is where, like, what I started was 2 days. Of a basic outline, and then you went over to Joe, and asked Joe if you could ride along and see how Joe did it. And that might or might not have anything to do with how you would be successful, but you'd see how somebody else at least was successful, and then you would be thrown to the wolves, and then you would go out and you would do your best to get it done. And what that does, it teaches you how to be a survivor. Now, the next level is a group of organizations or a group of salespeople that have what would I call a good structure. They understand how to, you know, get themselves in peak state. They understand how to warm people up. They understand how to do a great discovery and find the emotional needs of the customer. But what you'll find in those organizations is that they understand the psychology of what they should be doing, but typically they lack in the absolute why of how to do it and the ability to role play it so that it's perfect. You know, I liken it to the top level of salespeople, marketers and managers and directors and leaders, in organizations, because organizations are just a conglomeration of these people all congregated together, is that the top organizations understand something very similar to what I found is a great analogy. I remember going to see Cher at the TD Waterhouse in Orlando. And Cher, she put on this show that was just amazing. It was 2 hours. She had like 35 costume changes. She was beautiful. She sang incredibly well. And you just have to ask yourself, now did Cher just jump on that stage and just expect everything to go well? No, I mean, she probably started 6 months prior to that show. She was in a warehouse somewhere with her staff running through that show note for note, word for word, prior to actually going on that stage and giving us our $100 a ticket worth. And that's what the great organizations know how to do. They know how not to practice on live presentations. I'm spending $700, $1,500 a tour to bring in a customer. You know, that's how we do it in our industry. We provide prospects. And then we're going to take somebody that's never really practiced, and we're going to say, give it your best shot. You know, and that is just absolutely asinine. So the great, 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 great organizations, they have scripts that give them the how, and then they explain the psychology of why. Okay, and then they execute like an Academy Award-winning script, like Meryl Streep would do in any character, Al Pacino would do in any character, and they deliver it. And what that allows you to do is you don't have to think about what you're saying. What you can do is you can tap into the emotional intelligence of what the person's body language is doing, how they're responding to you, and really get down into that third level of what's going to make that customer tick, what's going to motivate them to buy. You know, and I learned that off your material, Sherry. Okay, I sat there in 1997 as a young manager that I was doing the training, and the way I was taught was, here's the 28-page script. When you've memorized it, we'll give you a prospect. And what I learned was that some people would just allow you to dictate them. Other people would not be able to do that. You know, so what happened was, is when I was able to explain why being in peak state made sense, and then show them how to do it, and then why we needed to gain and build trust, and show them exactly how to do it through the meet and the greet and the warm-up, through the discovery and the info confo, and then show them specifically how to do it, and also have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, in this case, billions of dollars of success that supported those actions. You literally can go on the floor your first day and just escape the learning curve and sound and act like someone that's had 10 years of experience if you're willing to commit to the preparation. You know, and you learn that in music. You know, you don't just run into the studio and record a great song. I know people think that. They think that about surfers, too. They think you just run out and go surf Pipeline. No, these people work on every note of every piece of that song. They practice it for hours and hours and hours. Then they go into the studio and they execute perfectly. You know, sales is show business. And the great artists are able to execute flawlessly to the script that they're given, and they also understand deeply inside themselves what they're trying to convey. What that does, it benefits the customer when you have that level of excellence coming from the sales professional. So I hope I'm answering your question, but that's what I see in the greatest organizations and salespeople, is that die-hard commitment to preparation.
You know, that's great, and I'm glad you brought that up, Sean. The second universal truth in Heart and Sell is called having a system gives you freedom to sell authentically. And you mentioned a script, and there's so many people that say, I can't use a script. But let's face it, a lot of inside sales organizations, a lot of larger organizations, we need a script, but it matters that you don't just have a script, that you know why you're doing what you're doing so you can sell authentically. And I was hoping you could elaborate just a little bit more. I know a lot of salespeople out there say, oh my God, I don't want a system. If I have a system, I don't have any freedom. You know, I'm in sales so I can be myself, so I can be my authentic self. And they think that if they have a system, they're fake or phony somehow, instead of realizing that whether you're a musician, whether you're a cook, whether you're a salesperson, that you need a system, you need to know the rules before you can break the rules, right? And I thought maybe you would elaborate a little bit about that, just a little bit more.
You know, in art you learn about the primary colors, right? And every color has these primary colors in it, and you learn, I was looking at, you know, at some point Eric Clapton, my hero on the guitar, he had to learn the basics and the fundamentals of what, you know, what each note was on the guitar. Now, when he's in front of 30,000 people doing an incredible solo and playing with our emotions to the point where we will pay for it, he's not thinking about the fundamentals. Great salespeople. You know, I remember when I walked in, to the organization that taught me this was, I was a 22% closer, and I thought I was better than a lot of my peers, but I was suffering from the disease of good enough, you know. And when I got around people that were not only good enough, but they also were aligned with an incredible product, an incredible location, and they were willing to do the work and literally memorize 28 pages of tried and true, psychologically laden verbal tools. What happened was, is I went from a 22 personally, I went from a 22% closer to winning the efficiency award that year in one of the greatest timeshare operations that I'd ever been a part of. You know, it was absolutely phenomenal. I went to about a 40% close net. And I believe it, I didn't even believe I could perform at that level. But when you put in that level of work, you know, you just can't suffer from good enough. You got to be willing to make your potential, live with abundance, make all the money that you deserve, and truly feel you deserve it. So I think that's what goes into it, is having a script and having fundamentals and having a system and a process doesn't put you in a box. It allows you to get out of the box. It allows you to be totally fluent, You know, and it really, really gets you off of what you're going to say, off of who the customer is. And what you do is you just deliver a, you know, magnificent, you know, world-class presentation to the sales, to your customer. And it really allows you freedom to like I was sharing earlier, to dial into physiology and emotional connection with your guests without really having to worry about where you're going next. Also, for a personality like mine, and I think you can really relate to this, Sherry, is I will drop anything for a good conversation. And when I hang a left on a presentation because I'm interested in the people, they're interested in me, and I'm 10 minutes off track, well, I know how to jump right back on track because
that is
because,
such a good point.
Yeah.
That is such a good point. And you have to get off that track because that's where the customer wants to go. And really what that takes is that takes a salesperson who's genuinely curious, right? I mean, you genuinely care about that customer, and you can only veer off the track if you know how to get back on the track.
Well, you got to have a track to get off the track, you know? So, you know, what you're able to do is go, hey, you know, it allows you to be spontaneous. It allows you to be interested in them because you know whatever happens next, you know exactly where you're going to bring the presentation right back to.
That's fabulous. Well, Sean, we've got just a few more minutes. I'm going to ask you very quickly one more question.
Sure.
What are you most proud of?
Well, I'd have to say that's going to be that's obviously a two-pronged question, and for me, I'm most proud of my family, their support that they've given me to be able to have the time and the effort to go be an expert, you know, in a career, in a field. Having that support system is just everything. And I'm most proud of the fact that we love each other, we're together, we find each other interesting, which has really allowed me to you know, just blossom not only in art but also in business as a leader and as a business person. But I think, you know, when it professionally, my most proud of, I guess it kind of gets me a little bit emotional. But it's my relationship with people like you, Sherry, that love it as much as I do. People like Ron Hensel, my mentor. People like Jeff Myers, that just love the ability to be great, do what you do best every single day, be rewarded financially for helping people enjoy their lives better. It's like Zig Ziglar said, if you can help enough people get what they want out of their life, you can have whatever you want out of your life. And there is just nothing more true than that from the late, great Zig.
That's beautiful, Sean. And you certainly have that expertise. You are the Eric Clapton of your field.
I would love to think that was true.
Well, as far as our listeners go, if you would like a copy of this, it comes with a free app. Go to #heartandsell.com. You can purchase a copy of my book. It's under $16, for goodness sakes. And it comes with these high-level superstar, rock star interviews. You will get an app and get a different interview at least once a month, as well as a copy of the book. Go to #heartandsell. Sean Harrison, you are a rock star, a wonderful person, and we all want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day today and for standing on your lanai and not just giving us your knowledge but your wisdom. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I just want to challenge everybody where the level of expertise, becoming a master, where it starts is by writing out your presentation with your own hand all the way through. And a great way to do that is just get a microphone, put it right in your iPhone, okay, and go to Voice Memo and just record your presentation, okay, and then go home and write it all the way out longhand with your hand. And, Sherry, that's how I mastered the curriculum that you came out with in 1997. I took each one of those tapes, I put a Walkman on, remember the Walkmans, and I hand wrote every single word by hand, and that is how you know, I programmed myself cognitively to understand this stuff at a very deep level.
Thank you, Sean, not only for your knowledge, but for your wisdom. I'd like to thank EVP of Wyndham Vacation Ownership, Sales, and Marketing of Hawaii. This is Sherry Levitin. If you'd like to get a copy of this on a free app, go to heartandsell.com, purchase my brand new book, which will be out in February 2017, and there you'll find many more interviews with sales professionals and leaders just like Sean. Aloha.